Welcome in to GSU Panther Zone. We are live on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks to Impact Media for allowing us to come on each and every Wednesday right about this time to talk about the Georgia State Panthers football, baseball, and, you know, a few random notes here or there because there are some fun things. Kind of downtime for both football and baseball. So when I find some cool things to talk about, I'd like to let you guys know. I am Jeremy the Impact York, as previously stated. Appreciate you guys joining us. Happy hump day. Wednesday is always a fun day, which I mean, I like every day for different reasons. But for a lot of people that look forward to those Fridays, you're almost there. I'm going to talk about some of the summer 2017 commits up to this point for the football team that have signed over the spring and summer so far. I've talked to you about one already. I'm going to tell you about, let's see, we got five to talk about today. It's actually been a pretty big signing period. We're going to do our best to keep you as up to date as we can about the future Panthers and anything current. The current thing right now is there's still practice going on for the football team, and all the camps have wrapped up as far as recruiting new members for the years after. I know all the guys are practicing hard. I've seen a lot of the social media pictures and whatnot, and I'm excited about the season. I hope you guys are too. Baseball team, obviously everything winding down. A lot of the current players are playing in summer leagues. I told you about those a couple weeks ago. The ones who are up and coming are obviously playing in different leagues and getting ready to finish up high school so they can move to Georgia State. And obviously the ones that graduated are either on teams or have moved on to other ventures. So that catches you up with that kind of stuff. That's things you guys ask about. I try to do my best to get to those. This one could be short and sweet today, or it could be super long. You never know. You know how I can get talking. Obviously, we'll get into those 2017 commits here in a second, but there's a really cool story that was on GeorgiaStateSports.com, and it's about the golf team, and specifically, head golf coach for the men, Joe Inman. And I'm a fan of golf. I don't know if you guys knew that. I like golf a good bit. I was raised playing with my dad and grandfathers, and I got cousins and uncles that all play as well. I wouldn't say any of us are all that good. Well, maybe my grandfathers. And my dad's pretty good, but, you know, we all go out and have fun. But golf's a game that means a lot to me. So when I saw this, I figured I would mention it because a lot of you guys were golf fans as well, and if you're not, you might be after this. I'm going to tell you, head golf coach of the men, Joe Inman, shot a -4, which is 4 under par, 68, which just so happens to be his age. I didn't know that. Joe does not look like he's 68. Good for you, man. I thought you were a lot younger than that. But in the process of shooting the 68 the other day, he qualified. He took one of the three spots for the U.S. Senior Open, which will be played at Scioto Country Club in Columbus, Ohio, August 11th through the 14th. He qualified at the White Columns Country Club, which is also up in the Columbus, Ohio area, I believe. He was part of the first group to tee off that morning. The way golf tournaments are set up, you guys who don't know or not familiar with it, everybody's divided up into usually 3 to 4 man teams, depending on the tournament. Pro tournaments usually 3. Can sometimes be 2, but most of the time it's 3. And you're each given a starting time. It could be based off last name. If you qualified into the event, sometimes it's by qualifications, whatever that qualification may have been. Sometimes it's score. Could have just been when you registered. Either way, he was part of the first group, which makes it hard because you want to put up the best score you can at any time. But when you're the first into the clubhouse, the first to finish, you have to wait on everybody else to finish to see where you're at. So it's kind of a grind at that point. He ended up in second place with the 68, which is great. He himself even said he wasn't sure the 68 was going to hold up, but as everybody was rolling in, he realized it had a chance. And, you know, congratulations to him on that. He had 5 birdies and 1 bogey. Once again, for the people who don't know a lot about golf, a birdie is 1 under, so if the par, which is the expected score, as far as the hole. So like, you know, if you get to a hole and it says the par is a 4, then they expect the average person, the slightly above average person, to get it from the tee box to in the cup or the hole in 4 shots. That's what they're expecting with the par. Birdie means you're minus 1. Eagle's actually minus 2, but we don't have to get into that much. Bogey, double bogey does that. It's the other direction. That is 1 over par. So, like, if you got a 5 on a par 4, that'd be a bogey. But he ended up with 1 bogey and 5 birdies, which is exceptional. I don't know that I've ever done that either. He hit multiple 20-foot putts, and he hit one that was over 50-foot, which that's hard to do. It's very hard to do. He is heading into his 9th year as the head coach at Georgia State, and he's actually competed in senior tour events in 2010, or he last competed in a tour event in 2010. He's won 3 times on the Champions Tour, which would be it would be the one I just talked about, or no, a different one. He won the 2000 SBC Senior Classic. Oh, that was his last win. I apologize. I can't read my own writing. And in 1976, he won the Kemper Open. Actually, the Kemper Open is still played. It's a great course. And in 1979, he won the Masters Par 3 competition, which is one of my favorites. Par 3s are a lot of fun because they're shorter holes. It's a lot of skill in trying to get it there as quickly as possible. But I want to give that special shout out to golf coach Joe Inman, and want to say good luck to him here in August. And, you know, no matter how you do, we're all proud of you. But we wish you the best, and good luck on everything. Now, moving on. I was going to tell you about our recent commits to the football team. So, without further ado, I'm going to do that. I'm going to start with wide receiver Julius Pearson. He is from Crestwood, South Carolina, where he went to high school. He is 5'9", 185. He's a speedy slot receiver, has great acceleration. He's a good kick returner, and he's got that kind of Percy Harvin factor to him that you can run him in, out of the backfield, or, you know, run patterns, do jet sweeps, handoffs through the back. You know, that's where the wide receiver takes off running, goes behind, they toss it to him, those sorts of things. He actually draws comparisons to Penny Hart as far as being a speedy, slightly undersized wide receiver. I would say if he can catch at least half as good as Penny Hart, then there's not going to be any problems here. Think Steve Smith-like if you're wanting to think about, or Percy Harvin even, as a comparison. And, you know, Wes Welker, super fast, plays in the slot, usually doesn't play outside, but super fast, can really just turn on the burners when he needs to. I think it'd be fun to have, you know, it's going to be fun having him on, because more than likely Penny will still be here at that point too. So you have Penny and him, gives you a lot of depth at wide receiver, something that Georgia State usually has an abundance of. Next up is offensive tackle Jordan Ballard. Now Jordan played his high school football, I think he's finishing up his high school football at Campbell High School, right down the road from where we're at currently. He is 6'5" and 255 pounds. Of course, you can't teach that. He's very athletic, has a good frame. Now, this is the thing about scouting and the way people evaluate football players. When they say good frame, it's not just saying, oh, it's a bone structure thing. You know, there's, depending on which sport you play, you need a body type a lot of times that matches that. If you're going to play offensive tackle, you need a good, steady frame. You know, if you're going to have issues like even a physical issue, as though some people's bodies are made where their hips don't swivel as much. You can stretch as much as you want, but if your hips don't move enough, you know, it's hard to be a defensive back or something like that. That's why a lot of times in high school and college, you'll see players move positions because they're better suited to a better place. So when I tell you he's athletic and has a good frame, he can hold off those J.J. Watt wannabe defensive linemen who are going to be trying to come over the top of him. Especially since he is primarily a left tackle. He's also played some strong side defensive end, but he is primarily a left tackle, which means he is the blind side on almost every quarterback. He is in charge of watching the backside, making sure the quarterback does not take a hit in the back. He also plays power forward for Campbell High School on the basketball team. That means he's got a lot of agility. That means he's got some good hands and good feet as well. That's very important when it comes to offensive tackle. Hand position is very important. And, you know, when you play in the trenches, which is the offensive line or the defensive line, you really want to have that. You can have speed and agility and explosiveness and stuff like that, but you really want almost that amateur wrestling mentality of you want control of the guy coming at you. An offensive lineman should try to attack the defensive lineman instead of allowing him to get to him. It gives him more control over him, where the defensive lineman is trying to get the offensive lineman out of the way so he can get to the quarterback. So him playing basketball, I think, is definitely going to help with that, especially being a power forward. That means he's banging around underneath the basket. These are good skills to have, in my opinion, as far as offensive linemen, especially offensive tackles. He also has gotten some other offers from East Carolina. I actually know some alumni from there, so that was kind of fun holding that over them. And a couple FBS schools as well, a good handful of them. But we definitely welcome Jordan to the Panthers family. Now, actually, his teammate, another offensive tackle, I think his name is Mecky McKinney. If I'm not saying that right, then I apologize, but I'm doing my best. Mecky also went to Campbell High School, or also goes there. He is 6'5", 276. Once again, you can't teach that. The way he currently is right now, he could actually add another 20 to 25 pounds of college football muscle, as they call it, when he gets working out. It's saying that he works out pretty good now, but if there's room for him to actually get bigger and possibly move inside to be a guard or a center somewhere down the road. He is primarily a right tackle, even though he has played some defensive tackle over at Campbell High School. In high school, you play a lot of two-way ball, both sides. He's solid. He has solid athleticism, and he has good feet and hands. Also, like Jordan Ballard, his teammate, does. Like I said, that's very important. You don't want to be a statue when you're an offensive lineman, because the defensive lineman is either going to go around you or he's going to go over you, and you're going to look really, really bad. So good feet and hands is a good thing, and I know as soon as Jesse Minner and Rick Minner and a lot of those guys get a hold of some of these guys, they could make them defensive ends or defensive tackles. But I actually think once Coach Miles and Coach Heward get a hold of these guys, we're going to have some solid cornerstones on that line for many years. Fourth guy I want to tell you about is defensive end Matthew Bowring. He went to high school in Lexington, South Carolina. He is 6'4 and 255 pounds. You can't teach that. He's actually being looked at not only for defensive end, but potential offensive guard or center prospect. You see this a lot of times. You know, he probably played both ways on the side of the ball, and the way coach looks at him, he may line up with the defenders, and he may have said, let me see you do this. Or, you know, based off what he saw, or actually what Coach Minner saw, Rick Minner, I'll get to that in a minute, he thinks maybe offensive line may be a great play for him. You know, we'll see how it goes. He has good size and speed. He played nose guard and defensive end in a 4-3 scheme. That means they have four defensive linemen, three linebackers. That's what that means. So playing nose in that usually typically means he's in the middle of the line, but off, you know, defensive end means he's on the other side. And he went to the Friday Night Lights camp just a couple weeks ago, where Coach Rick Minner made the offer. He conferred with Coach Miles and said, I'd like to extend an offer to this guy. And Miles absolutely agreed, so Coach Rick Minner paying off again. And he knows what he's looking at. So appreciate Coach Minner on that one. And the last one I want to tell you about is cornerback Cameron McFoley. He went to Carver Columbus High School, I believe. He is 6 foot, 180 pounds. You can't teach that. He is a cover corner. Think more see. You can't say Richard Sherman. He plays in the scheme. Think more. Darrell Revis. We'll go Darrell Revis. Shut down corners is a cover corner. That means more than likely he plays one-on-one against a... He might have a safety over the top for help sometimes, or sometimes a double team from an outside linebacker or something like that. But for the most part, he goes one-on-one with one of the top receivers from the other team. And he is quite good at it with pass breakups, interceptions, those sorts of things. He has excellent speed and length. You definitely... Tall corners. I'm always a fan of tall corners. I'm not saying you have to be 6 foot, 180 to be a great corner. I've seen corners of all sizes. You know, Darrell Revis is probably 5'8 or 5'9, somewhere in there, and he's phenomenal. So, I mean, it's how hard you play as well, but it helps because you're going against these receivers that are, you know, Calvin Johnson is, what, 6'4"? Well, if he puts his hands in the air, he's 8'4". So you look at, you know, you look at somebody that's 6 foot. Well, he puts his hands in the air, he's 8 foot. Now there's only a 4-inch difference there. You know, you can kind of do the math as far as that. It's definitely good to have tall corners, especially when you're going against some of the receivers that we will see this year. There are some real terrors that are going to be a lot of fun to see how Georgia State defense plays them. He fits defensive coordinator Jesse Minter's scheme well, especially being a tall corner like this. Has a lot of speed. And by a lot of speed, I mean he went to a North Carolina State camp earlier this spring/summer. He ran the 40-yard dash and had a time of 4.44. That is insane. That is, I mean, if he were to just work on his speed before going to a combine or something like that, that's unreal. That's, if we get 2, 3, 4 years with him to work on that, I mean, he could probably run a 4.3, 4.35, something like that, which is like Deion Sanders type speed. Just can't teach that kind of stuff. And it was actually our corner coach, Eric Lewis, who made the offer, which prompted an unofficial visit that ultimately sealed the decision for Cameron to come on board. So definitely appreciate corner coach Eric Lewis for making that offer and seeing a lot of future and a lot of Panther in Cameron's future. But that's actually going to do it for me this week. So appreciate you guys tuning in to GSU Panther Zone. We'll be back next Wednesday right around this same time. Same Panther time, same Panther channel. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks to Impact Media and Blog Talk Radio. We will see you guys next week. Go Panthers!